A cigarette machine is an evil thing. And as he stood there before me, shaking nervously, angrily, I wanted to hold my finger up in the air a few inches from his nose, run outside, hail a cab, find the nearest dive bar, buy one, bring it back and pound him over the head with it. He called me a hack. I had to look it up on the internet. God, Google told me that back in the day it was a term used to describe an ordinary horse. In the more modern parlance, he was calling me a shit writer. Gut muscles tightened, my father's voice emerging from the Bermuda Triangle of my mind, "Stick the head in him, son." Here was this man standing before me telling me that I was nothing more than someone who sits behind a computer banging buttons. How do I take that feedback? Do I don a bib and scoop that shit into my mind, making it mine, coating me in a slimy film of lack? Do I give him a volley right back? I felt like I was having a heart attack. When we become people that don't drink alcohol, other people will stand before us armed with sticks and stones wanting to break our bones, and how we react is of prime importance. We have a choice. We always have a choice. Resistance will tell us that they are right and we are wrong, but it's time for you to grow a pair of balls bigger than King Kong. Feedback is crucial, but we don't blindly accept it because we crave approval. What do you do in the face of such negativity? Do we accept a state of passivity? Or do we start to embrace a higher standard of selectivity? And that's what I talk about in today's podcast. My name is Lee Davey. I am not an alcoholic. I refuse to be anonymous. I am someone that doesn't drink alcohol. And I am very definitely not someone who sits behind a computer banging buttons. I hope you enjoy today's podcast. And if you want to watch it instead of just listening to it, then head over to Lee Davey YouTube and you'll be able to watch the video. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to another episode of the Alcohol Addiction Podcast. My name is Lee Davey. I'm not an alcoholic. I refuse to be anonymous. I'm someone who doesn't drink alcohol and spends every waking moment up, and other people do the same. And I am in the Atlantis Resort in the Bahamas at the moment, doing a spot of work interviewing poker players at a poker tournament called the Poker Stars Players No Limit Hold'em Championship. It's $25,000 to play in this tournament, and Poker Stars gave away 350 seats, which makes it the biggest high stakes poker tournament ever devised or created, that contains a lot of people like you and me, people who don't normally have a $25,000 to play in a poker tournament. Anyway, so I'm going to go and find some breakfast, but I wanted to share something with you which I think is important. So I've been working in the poker industry for about a decade now, something like that. And through my time here, I've made a lot of friends, a lot of admirers of my work, but at the same time, I've also made enemies is the wrong word. Enemies is the wrong word, but a lot of people who don't like my work. And they don't really, they make it clear that they don't like it, but in passive aggressive ways. Okay, and I find that to be, hey, how's it going? Good to see you. And I find that to be a little bit difficult to deal with, you know. I mean, the most difficult thing about it is being in that environment. Like, so being in a media room, so the media room is a very small, compact place, and if you are not on good terms with a lot of people there, it can get a bit like, it can get a bit uncomfortable in there, you know. And I don't want that in my life. And in many ways, it reminds me of when you take the decision not to drink alcohol, and then you find it really difficult to go back to the pub or the club or wherever you were with your mates, because now all of a sudden they don't understand you. You feel like you don't belong there. And because you feel like you don't belong, you start to tell yourself the story that there's something wrong with you. That your decision to be someone who doesn't drink alcohol was the wrong one. That your status has dropped. But, you know, especially in your social hierarchy, but you might start thinking that your social status has dropped in life. You might start catastrophizing, thinking that, you know, you're going to be lonely for the rest of your life. So it's really important when you do stop drinking to really be aware, like have self-awareness and really be kind of understanding about what's going on, how you're feeling, and then dealing with those feelings in the best way for you. And we'll all be different. And I just want to share with you something that just happened to me, how I dealt with my feelings. So there's this guy who I work with. I don't work with him, like he's not on my team or anything, but he's part of the media. And in poker, it's like a little circus. So every time you go to an event, you see the same people. So I see this guy a lot. And in the past, he's tweeted some pretty passive-aggressive digs at me when I put articles out there. So I kind of got the impression that he wasn't a fan of me, either as a person or the work that I do. And when I'm with him or I'm around him, it's really uncomfortable. And I don't like that feeling, like I said, so I told myself last night that I was going to speak to him today. So I just asked him to come outside to talk to me. And I said, look, you know, I've probably got another year traveling the circuit before I pack it in. And there's clearly something that I've done or said or written that's upset you. And it would be great if I could have your feedback as to what that is, because I'm feeling really uncomfortable when I'm around you and I don't want that, you know. And he said, you're not going to like what I tell you. I said, no, just give it to me. And he's like, you won't like it. And I'm like, well, I'm asking for the feedback. And he just said, you're a hack. He said, what do you mean by that? He said, you damaged the industry. You've damaged your industry with the very little research and effort you put into your pieces. He said, essentially, you're just somebody who sits by a keyboard and just types, just bangs away keys. And I said, okay, so you think I'm a hack? And he said, yeah, and I don't care what you do with that information. You know, he was really kind of at an aggressive posture. He was like, yeah, and I don't care what you do. You know, I'm not interested in your point of view. And I said, well, there's a lot of people out there that really like my work, you know, and give me great feedback and hire me and like that I do something a little different. And he said, yeah, and there's people out there that like top 10 clickbait links as well, but that doesn't mean it's right. So then I said, well, thanks for the feedback. I just want you to know that I haven't had any training. I was a 20-year railwayman before I decided to write. Somebody asked me to write about poker because they liked what I wrote. I just went with it, and people kept hiring me and asking me to write for them, and I just kind of went with it and tried to create my own style, and I'm not educated in this. And he said, I don't care what you do with what I've told you, but I don't care. And I said, okay, thank you for letting me know. And, you know, it makes you feel shitty, but at the same time, you realize that your thoughts and feelings, your intuition, is not a million miles off the mark, right? So I kind of knew that it would be something like this. you know, can you separate work from like person? Like, is it personal? Yeah, I think it probably is, because he probably believes that I don't have certain values in my life. Like if someone was like really deeply researching a piece, then there's a particular value around that, right? Around integrity and around the need to get it perfect. And what I'm kind of doing is very different. Like, so I'm flying off my seat to my pants a lot of the time, trying to squeeze in as much as I can. So I don't research as much. I do run away from those type of pieces. And I have to write 5 articles a day, which is 20 a week. And I think I've done a good job and done my best with that, as best as I can. Hey, Christian, I'll catch up with you later, yeah? But there is a thing, like, when you seek out this feedback from people, it's really important what you do with it, right? So, like, I don't want to... You need to take stock of it. Like, I need to take stock of this and say, well, is he right? Am I a hack? No, I'm not. I'm not a hack. Do I just sit by the keyboard and bang out and just tap away like a zombie woodpecker? No, I don't. I really think about what I'm going to write. I try to put my own edge on it. I try to write in my style, which my readers are grown accustomed to. And I put a lot of effort into it. Am I bringing the industry down? Well, I don't know. Like, he would know more than me. I don't think so. I think that's a stretch. Is my work thoroughly researched? No, it's not. And would my work piss off educated, fully trained journalists? Yes, because I probably... Everything I do goes against their rule book. So if I want to remain in this industry or to build up relationships with certain people in this industry, then I need to take some really serious stock of that feedback, right? I need to take some really serious stock of that feedback, and then I need to do something with it. Like, I either have to say, hey, I need a change. I need to listen to what this guy's saying. I need to change my style. Or I'm happy with my style and I'm happy with what I'm doing. But then you have to come to terms with the fact that there will be people out there that won't like it. And I think it's the latter, you know? So I'm happy with my style. I'm happy with what I'm doing. Yes, I can tune it up a little bit now after I listen to that feedback. But invariably, not much will change. Other than the knowledge and understanding that this guy and the people that work around with him, I now know why they have that beef. And it's the same when you become somebody who doesn't drink alcohol. And people start to say that you're boring, or they want the old you back, or whatever they're saying to you about your decision not to drink. I think it's important in that moment to really take stock and ask yourself, what do I want to do? Do I need to conform and change and be part of this group? Like, is that something I need to do? Or am I happy with what I'm doing and the choices and the decisions that I've made? And if that's the case, then obviously certain people are not going to like that, and I'll be comfortable with that. And if you have decided to become somebody who doesn't drink alcohol through the Truth About Alcohol philosophy, but then the answer is similar to mine in poker. You've got to turn around and say, hey, I am someone who doesn't drink alcohol. As a result of that, there are some people who are not going to align to those values. They're going to be afraid of them. There's going to be some cognitive dissonance emerging for them. There's going to be some defense mechanisms. And that is going to manifest itself, or it could manifest itself, in a behavioral pattern that I'm not going to like. Like, it's going to cause me pain and suffering. And I think in that moment, there will be an incredible urge to drink alcohol so you can fit in and be liked. So there's not now, but I imagine when I first came in this industry, I would there would be an incredible urge to me to conform and actually try to take on board this feedback and be that guy, you know? It's only the confidence that I've got over 10 years of doing this and getting the gigs that I've got and read the feedback that I've read that tells me there's a space here for me that is not being filled currently by anybody else, and the people value that space. But there's a value me in that space, but there's also people who don't like me in that space, right? So I need to be comfortable with that. I need to feel the pain and the suffering. I've just been walking around. Doing this is one good way. Like, if you feel that someone is, like, if someone's been honest with you about something and given you some feedback, particularly around why you're not drinking or how you're behaving in life towards them, and it's stung a bit, a good way is to, like, walk around recording it. You don't have to send it anyway. You just delete it straight away. But verbally expressing how you feel really helps the physical sensation of how you feel be done with, right? Like, so, like, when I had the feedback, I felt like a little bit sick to my stomach. My initial reaction is just to get stuck into the guy, because that's how I was raised. So I have to fight a lot of feelings, and I walk away very angry, feel humbled, a sense of humility, feel bad, but it's all in my gut. But as I'm walking away, my mind's clear and I feel a lot better. And now as I go back into the media room after I grab something to eat, when I see him, I'll be able to look him in the eyes with a lot of confidence and understanding that I know where he's coming from. I've heard him, and he's not going to be my friend, and I know where I am. I can just say good morning to him, and that's our relationship, you know? And I'm fine with that. So just bear that in mind. If you've got any questions on that whatsoever, let me know. My name is Lee Davey. I'm not an alcoholic. I refuse to be anonymous. I am someone that doesn't drink alcohol and is seen in some circles in poker as being a hack. And that's got to be okay with me, and I got to get used to that. And I spend every waking moment of my life helping other people become people who don't drink alcohol, and to learn that it's okay not to be liked as a result of that, and how to learn to feel that as well. So take care of yourself and have a lot of fun. Bye-bye.
If the truth about alcohol philosophy jives with you and you want to become someone that doesn't drink alcohol, then there are several options available to you, okay? According to the research carried out by Janice and James Prochaska, there are 6 stages of change when it comes to defeating an addiction. And let me assure you, that is your problem. It is an addiction, right? Now, these 6 stages of change are as follows. 1, pre-contemplation. 2, contemplation. 3, preparation. 4, action. 5, maintenance. And 6, termination. And translated into truth about alcohol philosophy, these categories become this, right? 1, the death effect. 2, visualization. 3, incubation. 4, ready, steady, go. 5, transformation. And 6, service. And that just makes a nice little acronym, STRIVE. Ha! That's why I did that, right? So these 6 stages of the truth about alcohol are not fixed in stone, right? They're fluid, and you'll move between these stages depending on a variety of different factors. But understanding where you are on this spectrum is really critical, okay? Now, 1, the first category you're going to be in, which the Prochaska's called pre-contemplation, and I'm calling the death effect, that's when you really are struck by the zombification of societal condition. You have no idea that alcohol is a problem, that alcoholism exists. You just think that alcohol is fucking brilliant, and that is the end of, right? And that will not be affecting you right now because you're here listening to this. But that is that first level, that first category, the death effect. At the second level, contemplation, as the Prochaska's call it, or for me, visualization, this is where you start to think and question the role that alcohol has in your life, right? And as you're thinking about this and you're pondering and you're kind of visualizing kind of like, you know, how alcohol is having a negative effect in your life and what it could possibly be like if it's not in your life anymore, you may have joined the Alcohol Addiction Podcast and listened to this. You may have headed over to thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk and joined our email list. You might be reading our blog post. You might have picked up a few books and started reading on those. At the third stage is called preparation, right? Or what we call incubation. And this is where you might go a little bit further. And you're now starting not only to kind of listen to podcasts and read some books, but you're actually preparing to change, right? The idea that you could potentially be someone that doesn't drink alcohol is starting to incubate. And you could, at this stage, have joined a community forum like Strive, or you might have joined NIST Naked Minds forum or Hip Sobriety's Facebook group or something. But you're starting to prepare for change. The fourth category is action, or what we call ready, steady, go. And this is where you really are now starting to take some real solid action. And if you're ready to take action, then you should take the Truth About Alcohol Taster. The Truth About Alcohol Taster is a 27-day program. You can join the program whenever you like. You just go to thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk and you can find the links there to join up, or you can email me at thetruthaboutalcohol@gmail.com and I'll sort you out. You join basically a group and you can just work on being someone who doesn't drink alcohol for 27 days to give it a little bit of a feel. We'll introduce you to the Truth About Alcohol philosophy, our three modules of truth, awareness, and freedom. We'll learn to help you see the truth about alcohol, why you drink, why it's so difficult to stop, raise awareness of that truth internally so you can start to change some of those neurological pathways, those thought process and belief systems around alcohol. And then freedom, how do you assert yourself back into a society of people that don't drink alcohol? You do the homework on Strive, you get an assignment every day from myself, and one of the Truth About Alcohol ambassadors will lead you along the way. So that's kind of the action stage. The fifth stage is called maintenance, or what we call transformation. This is where the work really takes off, right? Now, it's really important to understand that moving between the incubation phase and the ready, steady, go phase, you know, so whilst you're kind of like preparing to take action, that could take anywhere up to 6 months. And once you've started to take action, the actual maintenance phase, which is what we call transformation, the stage where you are really working on becoming someone that doesn't drink alcohol permanently, that phase can take up to 5 years, right? It can take that long. It certainly takes six months plus for you to really nail it or give yourself a good shot at this. And for that reason, we've created the intensive. The Truth About Alcohol Intensive, it's a year, an annual subscription where we get really deep into the truth about alcohol, raising awareness of that truth and working out how to be free of it. And we're up to like 70 plus coaching videos. You work with all the Truth About Alcohol ambassadors and myself. It's a great, great process, okay? One of the big mistakes people make is they'll take the taster, so they start to take action, and then once they finish the taster, they don't continue into the maintenance phase, and that can lead them fall back into some of those earlier categories. So it's really important to do the intensive and get through that transformation phase. And then finally, sixth, termination, as the Prochaskas call it, or I like to call it service. This is where it doesn't matter what happens now, you're never going to drink alcohol. It doesn't matter, you're never triggered, nothing ever happens, you're just fucking done with it, right? And that's where I am right now. And this is where we at the Truth About Alcohol can offer you some roles to, you know, give back to the community, give back to the world, and help me create this movement of a million people that don't drink alcohol. And that is to extend yourself into the roles of either a Strive ambassador, where you lead in the Strive movement and really are a rock helping new people come to Strive, or you can become a Truth About Alcohol ambassador, where we pay you to take control of the taster groups and the intensive groups and really work with people who are ready to take the action phase. So if you are ready right now, okay, to start to think about moving up into the next stage, so, you know, you're in contemplation phase now and you're thinking about going to preparation, join Strive, right? It's £5 a month. It'll be the best £5 you've ever spent. If you're ready to take action, if you're ready to do something about this, then join the taster. Okay, that's £99, right? Join the taster. And then if you are just ready to just fucking be someone that doesn't drink alcohol and that is like something you want to do permanently, then join the intensive. That is £1,000. We've got payment plans available. Do not let money be the reason why you do not take this, because we can always sort something out or find you some help, all right? So head over to thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk to join those experiences, or give me an email at truthaboutalcohol@gmail.com. Remember this, folks, okay? You drink alone, but you do not have to stop drinking alone. That's why we're here for you. So reach out and help. Take care of yourself.